When we swam our love to pieces, we washed up on messy beaches. You cleaned dry, I would not drift yet. I should drink salt water to forget. Ooh.
Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
And this is episode 27 of the Double Knit Podcast. We're finally back.
We are. We've been gallivanting around and now we're back and we're exhausted and...
Yeah, pretty much.
Looking longingly at our coffee cups.
I'm enjoying mine.
Yes.
So yeah, I went to California, and the weather was awesome, and my sister got me a gift certificate for the yarn store there.
Oh, cool.
So I bought a bunch of stuff.
What'd you get?
What'd I get? I got a skein of Mushishi from Plymouth, which is 95 wool, 5 silk, and it comes in huge skeins of 491 yards.
What weight is it?
Worsted.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must be a huge skein.
Yeah, it's fat.
Big old giant thing? So what are you going to do with that?
I'm going to make the Peaks Hood thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like Isolde. 470 yards something.
I was wrestling with what yarn to do that in. I would like to do it as well. And amazingly, there's nothing in my stash that's like quite right. I know. It's like, yeah, I kept thinking, oh, I could do it in that, and I didn't have quite enough.
Mm-hmm.
Or else I have like a sweater's worth, and I don't want to take 400 yards away from a sweater's worth. And,
yeah.
Because we were talking about that before, about those like projects that are like...
kind of in between.
In the middle. Yeah. That you don't quite, you know, you have maybe have one skein or a sweater's worth, but I generally don't buy 400 yards of worsted yarn. Or it's like 470, I think, for the pattern. So
yeah. So I have, you know, like 20 yards or whatever.
I just don't have...
It's like the perfect amount for that. Because I bought that, and then the pattern came out, like, when I got back. And it was like, perfect!
Yeah. Because I had a hand spun that I thought maybe would work, but I don't have enough of it. But to work, I've been waffling. I was thinking of doing it in organic from the fiber company.
Oh, that'd be really pretty.
But then I was thinking it'd be really nice in fez. And then I even picked out a color in fez, which is the Debbie Bliss...
camel blend.
Merino with a little bit of camel in it. And then I saw that Karen of Fuzzy Noodle Knits, just I noticed on Ravelry that she had just cast one on in fez in the color I'd picked out. So I can watch her progress. I don't know, maybe that'll be enough vicarious knitting that I'll just watch her knit hers and go, okay, that's done.
Yeah.
And put it aside. What else
did
you get?
So, I got a skein of locally dyed sock yarn, but it's like heavy fingering.
Okay.
Chasing Rainbows Dye Works. And it's Kona. It's like navy kettle dyed. It's really pretty. I don't know what I'm going to do with that because it's like 270 yards, which is like odd.
Almost kind of like sheep feet.
Yeah.
So more almost like into a DK weight, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll find some sport weight socks or something.
There's, in knitting on the road, I think there are a few socks that are you know, done in that heavier weight.
I think I have some in my queue. I'll just have to look through. But it's really pretty, and I wanted to get something local. She has a bunch of different blends and stuff, but I like the color of the blue.
I've spun her fiber before, the Chasing Rainbows. Yeah.
She's from Willits, which is just north of Utah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I got a skein of Rio de la Plata sock, which is, like, this burnt orange and, I think, like, a stripey thing plied together.
Huh.
Which are really pretty.
Cool.
And some Panda Silk fingering, which I know we have Panda Silk DK. Right. But I bought it to knit Colonel from the newest Nitty, that gold scarf thing with the beads.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So cool. I got a couple skeins. Yeah.
Very cool.
It was fun. Yeah. And that will be on my stash acquiring for a while since... I'm nearing the end of my at-home job.
Yeah.
Finally. I'm kind of relieved.
I did a little stash acquiring this weekend, too, because I went to my fall retreat in Port Townsend that is a great retreat. I totally scored. And it's this retreat. There's no agenda. There's no classes. There's nothing. You just, like, get up. You knit. You eat. You knit. You eat. You knit. You knit. And it's wonderful. But people... bring some really primo stash to sell. So this was a total score. Someone was selling 5 skeins of Dreamin' Color Classy in Black Parade, which is the yarn in the color that I'd already picked out to knit the Mondo Cable Cardi. And they were selling 5 skeins of it for $40, which is like,
that's ridiculous.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's like 60% off or something. Yeah. So, like below wholesale. So I grabbed that, and then I also got, I don't know if I told you that, someone was selling 9 skeins of Oh Well Balance.
Ooh.
In like a soft kind of purpley.
I like that yarn. Someone came into the shop asking for it. Like, no.
Yeah, I know. We'd wrestled with whether to get it. We just don't perform that well with cottons. But it's, I mean, yeah. So... I've seen things in it, and it's really it's drapey. Pretty. And very pretty, that kind of tweedy look to it.
Yeah.
So I got that, and then I didn't get much else. Oh, someone was selling some Sadakele, which is the Finnish fingering. It's sort of like... It's reminiscent of Shetland wool, but it's from Finland. It's a little smoother spun, too, and it comes in these big skeins. It's like 370 yards, something like that. But big skeins, and it's what I'm using for the Latvian mitten cardigan.
Oh, okay.
But it's what's used a lot of times for Latvian mittens, like it's what Lisbeth Upitis used for her samples. So I got three skeins, like a gray, a red, and a green, which will be perfect for that someday, and they were selling them for ridiculously cheap too, like also probably like 60% off retail on those. And then I got some good books. I got a ton of magazines, old Rowan magazines and old interweaves that I didn't have in my collection, and I got books. Yeah, it's a great sell. Oh, and I also got a cone of, I don't know, it's something that looks sort of like county yarn in that it's it shades from like light blue to dark blue and then back to light blue. And it's sort of a Shetland lace weight, but I tried weighing it and kind of making a guess. I think there's about 700 yards there. So, but, I mean, people sell, it was like $5 or something. So people just, you know, they've got stuff in their stash. They don't want any more. They're just trying to get rid of it.
Stash acquiring.
Woohoo.
It was fun.
It was.
It's not going to happen for me for a long time. My cedar chest won't close now.
Oh, so you gotta knit.
My goal is to, like, knit some stuff so that it will close
yeah.
with everything in it. Yeah.
That's a good goal.
So, Nanny Suemoto, you're finished, right?
Done! Woo!
Yeah, and I'm, like, 99.98% done.
Oh, it's just the Fair Isle jacket.
I have to do finishing on my Fair Isle jacket. I have to sew down the steeks and sew up the hem. The bottom hem. Everything else is done.
Well, if that's your definition, then I'm not really done either because I didn't even weave in the ends on my last one, which was the featherweight cardigan, because I'm not super happy with it and I don't know what I'm going to end up doing.
All right,
with
well, then I'm done.
Yeah. Ta-da! Yeah, the featherweight was my last one. It was yet another one of these ones where I didn't quite have enough yarn, but it was a special yarn, so I wasn't going to be able to get more. Blah, blah, blah. So I knit... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I knew the body was kind of short, but that was sort of the style of the jacket. And then when I did the edging, I bound off the first time, like, too tight, and it was really unyielding and also pulled up a lot. So the next time, I pulled it out, and I tried a really, really loose cast off. I was trying to do Jenny's surprisingly stretchy cast off, but I just sort of read the instructions and then went and watched TV and did it. So that by the time I made it upstairs,
it
had like reinvented it into where it was stretchy, but it wasn't Jenny's. I was just sort of doing my own thing. So it's still, I don't know. I'm just not super happy with it. And plus I was thinking like, it really doesn't shed that much. And then I noticed the other day that I was knitting on it when we were going to Portland and my car seat on the passenger side is like, covered in blue fur. So maybe I'm just kind of kidding myself about the whole angora thing, like it's not so bad,
but maybe relatively, like compared to the
certainly compared to the Debbie Bliss one. Yeah, but
there's a whole
yeah.
scale of shedding there.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I don't really know what I'm gonna do, but I'm done with Nanny Suemoto. And
so what have you been working on now? I know you've been doing lots of
hats. Yeah, like when I finished, I was just sort of like, I don't know what to do. So I just started doing charity hats. I did like a button tab hat in Marabou from Frog Tree, which is beautiful yarn. And then I did a stash busting hat where I blogged about this already, but we get all these little sample skeins from the yarn companies. So I had a whole bag of miniature skeins of yarn from Crystal Palace, from several years worth of it. So I had all these little skeins of, I just sort of gathered them by weight. So I had all this Bunny Hop and Merino 5, and I just did the spiral stripe thing where you like cast on like, I can't remember what I did, like 60 stitches or something, and then you knit 20 in one color, 20, 20, and then you knit across until you get to the next yarn and you knit that one and you keep going around like that so that you get kind of a spiral, but it really breaks it up and really mixes the colors up so that it doesn't look like...
Here's one yarn,
yeah.
Here's the next yarn.
And I tried to group them together sort of similar colors, which was nice, until then I had to move on to the next group, and then that was kind of abrupt. So I should have mix them all up a lot more from the start. So that was a fun one to do. And then
Cool House.
And then I did a Cool House hat. Jared Flood's coming to the Seattle Knitters Guild on November 11th. And so someone had said, oh, it'd be fun if we all knit Cool House hats. So sure, why not? I had some Debbie Bliss alpaca silk Erin that Molly had given me as a gift on my birthday, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. I had 2 skeins, so it was just the right amount to do the hat. And actually, I guess since I'm such a loose knitter, I took out a full repeat of the hat, and it fits perfectly.
Yeah, it's cute. I like that color.
Yeah, it's a great color. I mean, it's totally me color. Like, actually, the day I finished it, I was wearing a shirt that was that color. It's sort of a, they call it grape, but it's kind of mauve-y. I mean, it's not like a purple. And I was wearing a shirt that color, and I was wearing my green ferrule that has that color in the yoke. And so everyone kept going, oh my gosh, it matches your outfit so well. So I did that. And then I worked on Danson at the retreat, and I finished the first skein of yarn, and I started with the second skein of yarn, which is from the same dyer, but totally not the same color. And my friend kept looking over at me going, Pat, I'm talking about you. You were really excited. I was talking about you. Pat kept looking over going, I don't know about that. So I put it away and didn't work on it at the retreat because she was not approving of what I was doing. But I'm thinking, like, I'm just going to finish it and call it done. But what I did finish was, or not finish, I got a lot of work done on was my hexagon blanket that I haven't worked on since last year's retreat.
Yeah, that thing is big.
And everyone kept looking at it going, weren't you doing that last year? And I'm like, that's right. And then I put it in a bag, and I didn't pull it out until I got back here.
Let it marinate.
Yes.
Working on it again.
So I finished the whole, like, main section of the blanket, squared up all the edges, and now I've picked up and I started knitting the border. And Monday night it was killing me. I put it on every size 6 circular needle I had, so that was like 3, or that was free, so I had 3 of them. And I was really working hard to knit onto it, because I was basically knitting if I was knitting off of a needle, I would take the end of that needle, like if you were knitting 2 circulars, and knit, you know, those stitches back onto the same needle. Because if I went around, I was worried I'd, you know, pull stitches off needles. So it was killing my hands because it was really tight on there. So I bought a 47-inch needle yesterday at work and added that into the mix. And now everything's nice and loose. Yay. There's plenty of room. It's really easy to knit on. And I bought a skein of Lanoloft worsted from Brown Sheep to mix in for the border. So and I've got maybe like 3/4 of an inch of the border done, but I'm thinking a 4-inch border would be like a nice deep border, but I'm sure I'll get boarding and sooner, but we'll see. And we'll also see how the yarn holds out. I don't know, I don't have a ton left of the main color, so I'm doing mostly gray for the border and then just throwing in a stripe here and there. That's what I've been doing. So what else have you been working on? You finished your jacket?
I'm working on the socks for Noah still. I've hardly picked them up at all. They've been on the needle since September. So I picked them up last night and was working on them. And then I'm teaching a holiday stocking class at the shop. So I have like 8 inches of stockinette in the round, which is really boring. But it's at the store, so I have to pick it up tomorrow when I'm there.
And work on it until
get down to where I need to be for the next portion of the class, which is the heel.
But 8 inches of stockinette in the round on Cascade 220, that's like,
I mean, I have some of that done.
That's like watching an hour of television and then you're there.
Yeah. But it's like boring.
Yeah. Boring's good sometimes. I like boring.
I can't remember if I had finished my Heather Hoodie vest last time. I think blocking?
Yeah, I think it was.
It's done. I wore it on Monday.
I saw.
The charity sweater, the unnamed charity sweater, that's done. I just had to just finally finish it. And it had the 2-tone fitted shrug that my niece requested. That was my number 12.
One color.
Yeah. One color. It's Bud and Chloe Pollen, the orange.
Sweater.
And yeah, pollen. Sweater, okay. Yeah. And it Quincy from Made in Brooklyn.
And what yarn did you use for that?
Leftover Knit Picks, Wool of the Andes Bulky from my charity sweater.
So it's a single skein?
Yeah.
A strand of it? Because a lot of people I know are doubling up yarns to do it because it calls for something pretty big.
Nope. Cool. And it turned out pretty big. So
good.
That's going to charity, though. I'll just take it to the Knitters Guild for when it's there. I don't think it looks good on me, so. Kerosene is done. It's a blocking on my kitchen table. It's a little...
When did you start that?
I started it before I left for California.
Oh, okay, because you just blogged about it, though.
Yeah. I just blogged about it.
Because you created the impression that you, like, started it on Monday.
No. But, no, what happened was I had started it and gotten through the setup chart before I left for California. I didn't take it with me. I lost it. I found it, like, Monday when I was trying to figure out what I was going to take with me to knitting. And I was like, oh, there's a big, huge mistake in the setup chart. So I did rip it all out and start all over again.
Okay.
So whenever that was that I did that.
Okay. So
it wasn't Monday that happened.
No,
it was
last week. You had a decent amount of
I was working on it on Thursday. Last Thursday.
Oh, okay. So now that's an Anne Hansen pattern, you said?
Yes.
And is it done top, like from the center of the neck down, or do you start
tiny to big?
Tiny to big. Okay.
Yeah, from the point to the shoulders.
Oh, but you start at the tip? At the tip of the shoulder?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Yes? No. No, it's the neck.
You start at the top of the neck.
Yeah, because you do a provisional cast on with like 12 stitches, and then you work out.
Sure.
Yeah. And a lot of her patterns have mini, petite, and large size.
Mm-hmm.
So, because shawlettes are like the rage right now, if you look at her patterns, if you like her patterns, a lot of her triangular shawls have the mini size. Mm-hmm. And it said it was 400 yards, and I used hazelnuts in the J Blue, and I have like a quarter or a third of the skein left.
Wow.
Like, I was thinking about just like continuing on the repeats, and then I was like, this is going to be big enough for a little shawlette, and I'll just use it for a color work project. Like, I'll use it in mittens or something.
Yeah. Well, it's also, it's always kind of daunting that, you know, is this enough to do?
I knew I had enough for at least one more repeat.
And the edging, and then you're like,
Yeah.
He starts, and then it's really painful if you decide to, like, go for it, and then you realize, no, it's not enough yarn, and then you have to rip it all back and re-knit
it. 6 stitches short and the bind off.
So, I've had a few like that.
Yeah.
There. It's kind
of painful. I love it. It's really pretty. And then
very blue.
Yes, I like it. And it did not rub off on my fingers.
Yes.
Which is very exciting.
Yeah.
Because all that blue yarn totally rubs off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I knit the Siemens cap for my nephew. I finished it last night out of Spud and Chloe sweater. In the yellow color. What is that? Do you know? Firefly?
I don't know that color. I think Firefly. Yeah.
Firefly.
I think that's what it's called.
Which it's a little bit big, but he has a big old head. So
he'll grow.
Yeah, and
he'll
I need to block it, so. I finished a bunch of stuff since my nanny Suemoto is, like, done. And, like, all these tiny little projects. I'm like, whee! Knitting like crazy on them.
Oh, actually, I started another hat, too. I forgot two other hats. I did Opus Spicatum, which is from Kate of Kilbourne Woolens, who's the designer of the Selbu Modern.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to pronounce her last name. It's G-A-G-N-O-N.
Like Gagnon?
Gagnon.
I always want to say it very French, like Gagnon.
I know, I always want to say it French and not pronounce the second G, but I don't know. So I don't want to sound like Alex Trebek and be like, Gagnon. So I knit that, and it calls for Erin White yarn, and I was like, oh, I can use this Mission Falls wool, and I had this skein of Cashmerino from KFI, not the Debbie Bliss one, in my stash, and I'll use those. And as I'm knitting the ribbing and the Cashmerino, something in my head keeps going, this seems kind of thin. And I just keep going. I started the color work, and it was, like, two completely different gauge yarns. So I finally actually, like, bent down and looked at the label of the Cashmerino, which I don't know why I didn't do that sooner, and saw it was DK. So that wasn't going to work out.
So it's like a kid size, right?
I took the green out, but I took the green out, and then I added in some Cascade 220 Superwash, which is kind of DK-ish. So it's still a little bigger than the Cashmerino, but so I knit that, so it came out to this really cute little kid beret size.
Yeah, it's really cute.
It's very sweet, so I did that. And then, and even did the full-on tan blocking over a salad plate thing.
I like that. It's fun.
It is cute.
It's really easy to get a nice shape.
Yeah. It looks so finished. And then I did, and I just started doing Square Squared by Cozy Makes. She had some blog contests and sent out, and I won the pattern, but she requested, like, since you've won the pattern, it'd be really nice if you knit it and put it up on Ravelry. So I've been working on that, just using some stash stuff, but I didn't choose my colors very well, so it's not super great, but it'll be a nice charity hat because it's in an alpaca blend yarn and it's, you know, stranded, so it's going to be a nice warm hat.
Yeah.
So that's what
I know.
I
get the baby up. Sorry.
Okay,
hold on a sec.
We're back. We've been joined by Audrey, who I've been told has learned how to walk.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
She's checking out the buttons on my Coraline. Everyone loves the buttons on the sweater.
Yeah.
Including.
And she also likes these.
The mouse.
And she likes coffee. So yeah, there's so much tables here. Covered with things that she likes. Yeah.
Okay, so.
I think that's it for
Did you want to talk about. Well, actually, I want to just also mention. So now that Nanny Suemoto is winding down, there was a lot of discussion on that board about, like, what do we do now? Oh, yeah. And that there's some people, it's going to continue. People are going to do it again next year.
Mm-hmm.
Some people didn't, you know, didn't finish or didn't find out about it until it was too late. Or so there's going to be a Nanny Suemoto, although it's not going to be national. It's going to be international, I think, to be more inclusive. But there's also, there's sort of a group of people who are talking about how doing Nanny Suemoto sort of encouraged them to do simple stuff to try to finish everything on time. And so someone sort of came up with this idea of, like, choose your own knitting Everest, like, to pick some challenging mm-hmm. projects. So someone started a group for that, and I'm going to be, well, what I've said I would like to do is finish Giant Laughing Mitten, which I know I said that I was going to do that with Nanny Suemoto, but it didn't happen. Sorry, guys.
You're close, though.
Finish Frost Flower and Leaves, and then knit Celtic Dreams from Beth Brown Rensel. And maybe Saint, like a Starmore, maybe, and possibly Saint Frigid.
Ooh.
So that's my plan. And at first I thought, oh, I'm crazy. But then I was looking and I was like, I think I can knit three, you know, two and a half sweaters and half a shawl or three quarters of a shawl in a year.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be whether I feel motivated by that or whether. Because the next thing with Nanny Suemoto is that it was so open. Like, you could do anything. And so if you weren't feeling inspired by something, you could go and do something else.
Yeah.
But now with this, it's like I've committed to some specific patterns. And then what if, you know, halfway through it, I'm like, I don't feel like doing this anymore. Then I'll. Yeah, those are cool buttons, huh? Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see how it works out. But
yeah, I was reading that thread. And then I was like, I should do that. And I was like, oh my God, no.
I just,
this year I'm going to do, this coming year, like starting pretty much now, knit whatever I want. Because this year I did Nanny Suemoto. The year before I did the year-long gift-along. I've only been knitting like 2.5 years, almost 3.
Yeah.
So that's like.
It's a lot of knitting homework.
Yeah.
So I just, I feel like I haven't been challenging myself a lot with my knitting. So I'd like to try to do that, challenge myself more, but I don't, you know, I might feel different after a while. We'll see.
Yeah.
So, what you been reading?
I finished Outer Dark last night by Cormac McCarthy.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think? What's this one
about?
I haven't read this
one. It's about a brother and a sister in the Appalachians who have a baby together.
Yay.
And he takes the, while she's recovering, he takes the baby out into the woods to leave it. A tinker finds it. Takes it to kind of foster, and then while the brother's out in town getting supplies after he's told the sister that the baby died, she takes off to find the baby. Like, she goes to find the grave. Mm-hmm. I just did air quotes, the grave, because it was just, like, fake. He just, like, you know, turned up some earth. So she finds out that the baby is still alive, so she goes out to find it, and then the brother comes back, finds her gone, he goes to find her. Because they don't have any family, it's just the two of them. So, I had a hard time getting past the first 20 pages. Head diving into your lap.
Yeah, hello.
The first 20 pages or so, I felt like he was like beating over me over the head. Like, here's my writing style. Isn't it fantastic and interesting?
Is this your first Cormac McCarthy book?
Yeah. And then I got past that and I was really liking it. And I hated the end.
Oh.
Like, I didn't at all like how anything was resolved.
Mm.
At all. Whatsoever.
Yeah. He's so pretty dark.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I knew reading the synopsis on the back that it was not going to be an uplifting novel.
Yeah.
But I was hoping for some.
He's also not big on, like, resolution.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel ambivalent.
Okay. All right.
About the whole thing. While I was in California, I read a medical mystery thriller thing that my sister had called The Sinner, which was like super light reading, and I finished it in like 3 days, and I was like, oh, maybe I should get more books and actually read some while I'm here. So that's what I've read.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't started anything new because I just finished Outer Dark last night.
I finished Time Traveler's Wife while I was away. I stayed up super late like the last two nights reading that. And I liked about the first three quarters of it. The last quarter of it kind of got on my nerves. And I also thought it could have been a lot more vigorously edited. There were a lot, I mean, some extraneous scenes or just... It was funny because, you know, it's set in Chicago during a period that I lived in Chicago, so mm-hmm. there's a lot of specific mentions of places. Like, I've been to that restaurant, or they even mentioned the museum where I worked, although they called it by the wrong name. but weirdly specific things of, like, if someone's walking, like, we don't need to know, like, they walk down this street, and then they turn on that street, and I mean, it's like, yeah. you know, yeah. we get it, it's Chicago, it's specific, but it was just like,
tears.
The walking didn't work out. Oh, no. Are we better now? Yeah, okay, we're at the desk, we're better now. But I liked that, and then I started reading, speaking of brother-sister books, I just started reading Cement Garden
yeah.
by Ian McCune, which I guess is his first book, and so far it's really creepy
yeah.
kind of brother-sister stuff. It was funny, because at knitting the other night, someone brought up the whole, like, V.C. Andrews book,
yeah,
and I'm like...
Flowers in the Attic.
Yeah, and I'm like,
the whole incestuous this is just, relationship.
Yeah,
thing.
Just like yeah. too many. Like, why suddenly we're on this streak of like brother sister incest stories and
gross.
Yeah, not fun. Yeah, not fun. Anyway, so that's what I've been reading so far lately, and really haven't done anything. I don't think I've seen. Oh well, we haven't talked since we saw Where the Wild Things Are.
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Okay.
It was great. I went. My friend was visiting from out of town, and she took me for my birthday.
Yay.
So we went and saw it. It was so good. And the only thing that kept me from crying was that she was, like, bawling and every few minutes, like, totally honk or schnoz. And that would make me laugh so that I didn't cry, or else if I'd seen it by myself,
yeah,
I probably
yeah.
would have been like,
woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Well, I took, Wes and I took
the
boys.
Plus the soundtrack is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wes and I took the boys to see it opening night, and we were a little concerned because our younger son is, like, scared of everything
mm-hmm.
and movies are always too intense for him. And so...
And that's an intense movie.
It is not in that, like, scary things happen. It's just the emotions are intense.
Yeah.
Because it's... Which is what's so wonderful about it, though. It's so true to the experience of childhood that everything seems big and, you know, intense and raw. And so, I mean, the thing I've been telling everybody about it was just there was a moment where Max is chasing one of the wild things through the woods. My younger son just, he was in my lap at that point, and he just kind of reached out toward the screen and said, that's what it feels like when his best friend, you know, hides from me.
Mm.
And it was just like, it obviously, hi, sweetie. It obviously just like really resonated for him, and he's been talking about it a lot, and we used it as a chance to talk about, feelings and how he feels about stuff, and even his older brother, we used it to sort of talk about that, and just so wonderfully done, and really true to the spirit of the book, I thought. But I haven't really watched much of anything else since then. I've been watching a lot of TV, so.
Yeah, I watched the final season of The L Word, which started
yeah.
out good, and I kind of was disappointed in how it ended.
Let's see that.
Watched season 5 of The Office, which was good.
Which I still have... I've never gotten into the American version of The Office.
I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah. That was funny. It was
yeah.
good. I liked it. And then I watched... Oh, when I was in California...
Coming to me again?
My mom took Audrey overnight so I could sleep in one day. And I went and saw a midnight showing of Paranormal Activity with my sister. That was actually really fun because it was a midnight showing, which they don't do a ton there. It was pretty full, because
mm-hmm.
it was the week before Halloween. It was pretty full, and I really liked everyone sitting in an almost full theater with people and seeing their reactions.
Yeah.
Because people get scared and then start chattering to the person next to them to try and, you know, make themselves
talk
not
themselves
scared
down.
Or make really funny comments.
So that's the one where it was, like, the couple...
Documentary, yeah.
Sort of, it, you know, they set up cameras to, you know...
Yeah,
record
so,
what was happening in their house, and it's like the found footage, like Blair Witch.
Yeah. I mean, they find it the day after instead of like a lot of time after. But it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, weird stuff starts happening. The boyfriend decides to buy a camcorder to start documenting it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have like, you know, research people come to the house, or one guy come to the house to see like a psychic or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To see, you know, to give them some advice or whatever. And it just keeps escalating over the course of, like, a month or so. But I was actually scared for some parts. And I watched tons of horror movies.
You were scared?
Yeah. I was like, oh my god, this is totally creepy. And I like, jumped a few times. Oh. That never happens to me anymore.
Okay, I feel better because I actually had to stop watching CSI this week because it was started out so bloody. I was doing this nervous laughter thing, which morphed into crying. It was so hurt. I mean, because usually CSI starts with, like, a dead body, but this was, like, a live victim, and you just got to watch him bleed to death. It was gruesome. I mean, it was really, really awful. And I, like, you know me, I don't do blood and gore and stuff really well. It was so gruesome, I couldn't take it. I just, I lost it. I was trying to remember what I said I'd done at knitting that made you laugh so hard at me. But I couldn't remember.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember either.
I don't remember either. One of my goofy moments.
Was it Goosey?
Oh, that was it. Yes, my nickname when I was a kid was Goose. So,
Goosey,
yes. That was me. I'm like, I know I did something that made Aaron laugh really, like, hard at me.
Yeah, I just thought that was something made up. I didn't know that people actually call their kids things like Goosey.
Yeah, they do.
I watched I'm Not There.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you think of it?
Hated parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
Cate Blanchett was awesome.
Yeah.
I liked all the characters separately.
It just didn't necessarily come together as a complete film.
No.
That's exactly how I felt. Like, they were all interesting, but it didn't all...
Discordant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I totally agree.
But the music
agree.
Was good. Because Bob Dylan.
Well, yeah. So. And it was... I mean, you know, I think an unsuccessful Todd Haynes film is still, like, way more interesting than most of the stuff that's out there, so...
Yeah. And I watched Doubt, which was really good.
Oh, I still
really
haven't
good.
Seen that.
Really good. Good performances by all.
Yeah, I love Philip Seymour Hoffman.
And I watched Milk,
which
was so good.
That?
I hadn't seen that, so I watched that like a week ago, and I thought it was so well done.
Yeah,
and Sean Penn did a great job.
It's one of those ones where, like, you hear about it and you're like, oh sure, whatever, but he's so amazing in that. I mean,
yeah,
he really just gets into that character.
Yeah,
and
it was just so well done.
A great cast all around, actually.
Yeah,
and just the way they managed to get the look right, and the costumes, and the sets.
And I like how they integrated original footage.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. So that's why I watched a lot of stuff.
You did.
Yeah. Cool. Good stuff, too.
Yeah. Cool, cool. Ow, that's my hair.
Yeah, she likes to pull it.
Oh, yeah, you pulled some right out. Way to go, man. All right, well, I think that's everything for us this week, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, baby.
It's nice to be back.
Yeah.
I think we should be on a schedule now, because I'm not going anywhere anytime soon.
I'm not going anywhere anytime soon either.
Yeah. Alrighty then.
Yay.
Should be like every other week from now on.
For a while.
For a while, at least.
Until we flake out and something else happens.
Yeah. Huh.
Okay. Yep. Say bye, Audrey. Bye.
Silence.
Say bye.
No.
No? You just smile at me? Okay, that's all right.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
When we swam our love to pieces, we washed up on messy beaches. You cleaned it dry, I would not drift yet. I should drink salt water to forget.